Welcome to The Atypical Leader with Rick Brennan, where we talk about harnessing what makes you unique
and maybe even a little odd,
while at the same time dismantling the notion that you have to be a certain type of person or act a certain way to be an effective leader.
You're definitely a leader, not a follower.
I like the sound of this.
It's time for us atypical leaders to come out of the shadows and learn to be proud and confident in what makes us different.
I'm proud of who I am.
I'm proud of who I am.
Atypical Leader starts now.
Juty, juty, juty.
Ricky, Ricky, Ricky.
How's she going?
Good.
How's
good.
She booting her?
She's good. Good.
Good, good, good.
Que pasa with you?
Well, you know, just did yoga this morning.
Yeah.
Regular Sunday routine. Back here, had breakfast.
It was good.
It was good. And then came back here and we've been working on stuff.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a podcast.
We're going to do a podcast because I have questions.
Oh, you have questions about what?
I have questions. I read an article that McKesson is selling Rexall.
Yes.
First of all, I didn't know that McKesson owned Rexall, and now I hear that they're selling
Actually,
Rexall.
Actually, that purchase of Rexall happened back in the day when I was there.
Oh, okay.
I was the senior VP of retail.
Okay.
Banner services for McKesson, and we bought Rexall at that time.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you a little story about Rexall.
Okay.
And this is why it kind of interests me. In my neighborhood in Calgary, we had a really nice independent supermarket, drugstore. I think it was Superdrug or something like that.
Okay.
And he was wonderful.
Talking about the pharmacist that you dealt with?
No, the guy that owned it, the guy that ran it.
He'd be a pharmacist.
Okay. The pharmacist... Okay, let's start with the pharmacy because that's important. Was amazing. There was a woman. She lived in the neighborhood and she was absolutely fabulous. She knew more probably than my doctor did about how drugs interacted, all of that, right? You could go in and talk to her and find out anything.
Well, you know what? That's not strange. Pharmacists tend to know more than doctors because, you know, they service your whole family.
Right.
You could probably your mother and grandmother could have went to the same pharmacy. So they have years and years of history on you and your family.
Right, right. Right. And for some reason, they know how drugs interact with other drugs where doctors don't seem to think about that.
That's their job.
Right. Go backing up a couple of people before him. We had a really lovely grocery store there owned by some hockey players. And it was fabulous. But I think it was a little bit before its time. It was very healthy. They turned it into a coffee shop in a grocery shop. Unfortunately, they mismanaged it and it closed. Fast forward, we have this gentleman and he set the place up. It was always really clean, looked really good. And he brought in food for us because we don't have a supermarket in our neighborhood. And if you wanted something, you just went, hey, you know,
So he was catering to the neighborhood, to the clientele.
Yeah, and he knew what people wanted. And you could say, hey, you know, I'd really like if he would bring this in. And he'd say, sure, let's give it a try. He had everything. It was fabulous. And then one day,
Is all in a pharmacy?
Mm-hmm.
Just basically him catering to you as customers, saying, this is what you want. This is what you want. This is what I'm going to get you.
Yeah, yeah. And it was fabulous.
Right.
It was always clean, bright. We you know, big proponents of it. We all supported it. And then all of a sudden, the Rexall sign went up.
So he sold out to Rexall.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, the pharmacist was gone. They had people in there that could have cared less. They were very difficult to work with. So we stopped going there.
So they were employees.
I don't know.
Well, for sure. Rexall is a corporate entity.
Okay.
So the people that work there would get a check. They would get a weekly check. And here's what I'm paying you to be here. And
That's it. My ex has a very difficult personality, but didn't put up with it. Anyway, we stopped going there. And then,
But just because the Rexall sign went up because they were difficult or didn't seem to care?
Oh, because they were difficult. It had nothing to do with Rexall.
Well, give me an example of how they were difficult.
Okay. I'll give you an example that really pissed me off. My mom, who was at the time was about 93, she sent me some cream from Rexall in Leduc. And I didn't use it for a while, but it's supposed to be good. And I opened it up and it was just a hard clump. So I phoned her and she said, well, just take it to the Rexall there, you know. So I did. And I talked to a woman there and she said, well, I can't do anything. And I said, well, is there a manager or something? So she went to the back and I waited for about 10 minutes. And this man who I'd never seen before came out and said, no, we can't do anything for you. Send it back to your mom in Leduc. And I said, okay, let me get this right. You carry this product. You're Rexall. It's all one big company. And you want me to send it back to my 93-year-old mother that has to call a cab to take it back because you don't want to. And he said, yeah. And I said, okay. And I didn't go back for 2 years.
That's called voting with your feet. You know what I mean? You just disappeared.
I just disappeared.
That's what happens with many companies and many retail locations is you don't fight and argue. You just don't come back.
Yeah.
And so the people who work there don't realize that because now you're just disappeared.
Right.
You know,
right.
If I'm not going to get what I want, I go somewhere else.
And I don't know. I mean, I've gone back just simply, I figure, 2 years. I'm sure they missed me.
But what you're talking about is not the exception.
Okay.
Because I was very involved in independent pharmacy and corporate pharmacy for a career.
Yeah, that's what you did. And that's why I wanted to talk to you.
Very well. And there's no doubt that the nature of the business, when anybody's running their own business, I don't care if it's a pharmacy, a food store, a corner store, or a jewelry store.
Right.
There's very much a personal touch to that because it's your livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring that customer service comes natural. You're trying to satisfy your customer, trying to make sure that customer comes back because it all trickles down to the bottom line.
Right.
All trickles down to the money I'm going to have to put food on my table, to send my kids to school and so on and so forth.
Right.
So the independent pharmacy was very, very much about customer satisfaction, interaction.
Right.
Understanding your patient, understanding your family history and all that sort of stuff. And even back in my Shoppers day, when Shoppers was a corporate entity, back when I worked there, there were still associates, which there are today. But back then, the associate was pretty much the owner of the store.
Okay.
Shoppers controlled the lease. But the owner, and they acted, although they were in a corporate entity, acted like an independent.
Right.
So the same thing happened. So, Shoppers flourished, as it is doing today. Now, over the years, Shoppers have got away from that model. But they're so big and diverse now, and actually a very, very well-run operation that they do very, very well.
Yeah.
Rexall, on the other hand, is a company that, and I appreciate I say this, having never directly worked for Rexall.
Okay.
Because I was running the retail banner group, which at the time when I left was 2,500 independent pharmacies right across Canada.
That's amazing.
A major, major part of the Canadian pharmacy landscape.
Right.
And I was used to dealing with them who had that kind of, I really care about my customer and so on and so forth.
Part of the community.
Now, we had to help them with systems, structure, procedures.
Right.
So they could maximize, help them get organized. How do they buy and how do they get product and how do they advertise product and all that sort of stuff. But it had all the things that you loved.
Right.
Okay. Then McKesson bought Rexall, which looks like they're selling again, which I can't say I'm surprised by.
Okay. Why?
Because first of all, let me just give you some background. Because when McKesson bought Rexall, I was on the independent side of the business. We were not allowed to talk to anyone at Rexall, really based in the Canadian Competition Board.
Oh, okay.
And at the same time, a new CEO came in and he had a different vision of what he thought independent should do and what Rexall should do. He had all these programs, which I might say zero panned out.
Okay.
Okay, zero panned out. But he had this thought because obviously if you own the entity, you can make more money. I don't have to share it with an owner.
Right.
Can argue that. Pretty good logic.
Yeah.
So the idea was, well, if we didn't have any independents and they moved them all over to Rexall, the company as a whole would make more money. That piece of thinking is not bad.
Okay.
The problem is the discount of that entrepreneurship, that customer service, that caring and feeling.
Right.
And that never, never happened. And frankly, one of the reasons why I left, I said, somebody's trying to sell me that independent pharmacies are going to be gone in, 2 years. And I'm like, what the fuck are you smoking?
Yeah.
It's just never going to happen.
Thank God.
And thank God.
Yeah, really.
So Rexall's going through his transition. I'm not directly involved, but you can't help but tell what's going on and how it's impacting my business, where resources are being pulled. Resources are being pulled away from me and into that sort of side of the business.
May I interrupt?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what this CEO, I'm just feeding it back to you so I understand. He wanted to take the 2,500 independents and try and turn them over into corporates.
Well, no,
not all of them.
You're saying that too structured.
Okay.
It's not like that.
Okay.
Is that over time because of how we as a company want that to happen. And therefore, we should put obstacles to create opportunities that would cause those independents to want to become corporate entities.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, so not this master plan or anything. Remember, all the master plans failed anyways.
Okay.
But Rexall was always a company that never performed at the highest level. Let me be kind.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was well known in the industry. You described the experience.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They have a lot of great locations, around a lot of great corners in Toronto and that sort of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, they do.
And should
yeah.
do very, very well. But when the new, we'll just call it the boss, came in and evaluated what was going on at Rexall, for the most part, he kept the management of Rexall. Not to say there wasn't a few key executives that were moved out and others moved in, all in the vision of himself, okay? So it really never gave, I think, Rexall the opportunity to transition into the type of pharmacies that they could have been.
Okay.
Okay, you know what I mean? They got focused on... Well, that's what did you say? Frozen goods. Let's get focused on bringing different types of shampoos. Let's get focused on that. But your main experience that you criticize is you lost that feeling with the pharmacist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
With the staff, with the continuity. People came in and came out. And at the end of the day, we all want that. This is my health I'm talking about. And when you talk to a pharmacist, you care.
Right.
But that type of training, that type of environment that you want to create, what was really lacking.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's how do I create an organization behind that to support that? What's the training I can give? How do I ensure continuity in pharmacists and stores? How do I incentivize a pharmacist in these stores to act and create the environment that I want them to create? What's the financial consideration for all that to happen?
So the pharmacists in Rexall, you said that they're just employees. They don't own the pharmacy?
That's correct.
Yes. Okay. So now, there might be
a pharmacy manager. But remember, the same thing happens at Shoppers Drug Mart. They call them associates, but in today's Shoppers Drug Mart, they're just an employee. And they do get some profit sharing, which does motivate them to a degree. Rexall, now I stand to be correct, but do not believe that takes place. Not to say there's not some small shop profit sharing scheme in place. I'm sure there is, just like there may be for the head cashier.
Yeah, I've talked to other people in our community, and you walk in, it's just this empty feeling in there. It's just, it's kind of like half-ass put together. The people that work there have been there for a long time. One woman's been a manager. But there's no real, you get the odd girl at the cash. I mean, they've got two cash lanes, but they never open them. They always use the one over in the corner.
Well,
never.
This is a great story, especially when we expand it.
Right.
Okay, and we get to what we talk about in this podcast.
Okay.
So if you're a leader, a manager, whatever, how do you be successful?
Exactly.
What are the things that are going to drive success if you're managing a store, a division, a company?
Right.
How do you plan that out? Okay. And my experience with the Rexall situation, it was really determined, one person was determining the path forward. And the problem with that is if that one person isn't right, you're screwed.
Oh, no kidding.
Right? Where there's one person organized.
Uh-huh.
And which should be a sharing of ideas. What might we do? How do we go about this? What's the best approach? But you could see even in that think tank, it was funneled to make us all come to the decision that he had already made.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so at the end of the day, you're really getting one guy really calling the shots, manipulating the situation and the people to come to his decision because he's decided without the dialogue that it's the right approach.
Yeah.
That you can never do. So who's ever listening, you can't do that shit. You got a team around you. You got experts around you. Use them.
Listen to them. Yeah.
But listen to them for the sake of listening. You know what I mean? There's a difference.
Yeah.
Listening, and I'm awful for that. You're talking to me, and my brain's just thinking about other things or thinking about the answer I'm giving you. I'm not really listening.
Right.
Okay, so active listening.
Right.
Active caring. And if you would have – and then you got to think, if I'm dealing with a structure of executives where it's been a very – marginal type of company, and I keep all the same people.
What's going to change? Yeah, it's the old
because you have a culture.
Mark Twain thing.
Yeah, yeah, you know? You just keep beating that head against the wall. Right?
Yeah, what is it? the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Right, especially when you're doing it with the same people.
Yeah,
now,
of course.
And, you know, and then you could say, oh, maybe they're a really good person. And maybe there are certain peoples in that culture that survive. But the culture is that. And the culture is just people.
Right.
So if you keep the large framework of those people, it's very, very difficult
to change
the culture of the company.
Right.
And what you're describing is a cultural issue.
Mm-hmm.
How do I make people care? And there's some organization and training that has to go behind that, but that needed to be the issue. And that was the issue that was not understood. It was turned in, well, if I could do this, I'll make more money.
Right.
But if no one's coming because they don't like the environment, they're not treated the way they want to, I mean, come on. This is not rocket science here.
No, this is another thing that cracked me up was, so they have this card called Be Well, I think it is. It's like their loyalty card. So anyway, when you go to Rexall on Tuesdays, it's Seniors Day. And I can't remember if it's 55 or 64 or whatever, because it changes all the time. But I was just told a couple months ago that you could only get it if you had a Be Well card.
But that's not odd.
Well, it is to me, because I can go into any store that has Seniors Day and get the discount. I don't have to have a card to belong. I don't have to have their loyalty card.
Yeah, okay, maybe not. But
well, it's just one more thing, like, oh, really?
But that speaks to culture again.
Yeah.
If you go back to your other store where you love the pharmacist, love the environment, and they said, oh, you have to be part of the Be Well to get it, you would, oh, okay, no problem, you sign it up. But you're kind of half pissed off anyways, you know what I mean? When you're thinking negative, then the little things piss you off.
Right.
When you're thinking positive, you don't even notice those things.
Right.
That's the thing about creating the right environment.
Yeah, because I was just shocked. I was like, what? Now you have to have the card to get it. It's like they're putting obstacles in front of us, you know, all the time. You have to do this.
Well, they seem like obstacles because the environment's not right.
Yeah.
And if people had that sense of environment, sense of customer service, even the language they would use to tell you that you need this card would be different.
Different.
You as a customer, because you're happy, would hear those words different.
Right.
It's a different environment.
And you know what? They have the only reason I went back really was because they have the Canada Post there.
Right.
And Canada Post is pulling out, which is really aggravating. Because now we don't even have a Canada Post in our neighborhood.
Well, I can't speak like that. I don't know what it is,
but I'm just saying a lot of people go there because of Canada Post, and now they're losing Canada Post. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, I drive almost across the city to go to a pharmacist with my doctor because I love them there. They'll do anything for me.
Oh my God. Yeah. Shame. So you know what? Since what I saw when I was there, and how Rexall evolved, and now I've been gone.
Yeah.
5-6 years, so I can't pretend to. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Rexall had a chance from day one.
Right.
Because we were just focused on the wrong things. And when, you know what? You get focused on, I'm going in a direction.
Yeah.
And I'm making good progress. Don't talk to me. The problem is you're heading in the wrong direction.
And you're not making progress.
Well, you're making progress in the wrong direction.
No, you keep digging the wrong direction. Yeah.
So, you know, and that goes again to the environment, the culture, and the people who create that has to be your first focus. And the problem with then it's tricky because who do you listen to? Because if I say, hey, Judy, you're the vice president, so how's it? Oh, fuck, it's great here.
Mm-hmm.
And if I take your word for that,
mm-hmm.
it may be great in your eyes because you're used to doing what doing. So how do you cut through all the bullshit? How do you find the right people to talk to? You know,
usually the staff.
Well, that person could be a staff member, but you're right. So you really have got to get out into the bare bones of the business.
Right.
You got to get out and talk to store owners and store staff. And if you're good at it, if you're atypical, and I'll blow the horn for atypical, where I have a greater sensitivity to body language, to what people are kind of saying but not really saying, I can start to read that. If I'm a typical executive who wants, okay, I want people to say these things,
check the box.
They said it, so that can't be the problem because you really got to know. And what you might find out is that you are the problem.
Yeah,
and then you have to have
that.
The humility
to
say, okay, I'm the problem. Fucking, I got to fix it. I got to start listening to people. I got to start to push this business in a different direction.
Right.
And then you get so far down the path that what do you do?
Well, you're kind of stuck.
You're kind of screwed,
Most people don't have the humility to say, oops, fucked up. Going to have to change course.
Oh, no. Because those same people, I mean, would never have got to that point. You've failed enough. When you know that you need other people to succeed, you approach business teams in a different way.
Right.
So those of you that are out there and are atypical, you got to understand that you are the one with the power to really create high performance teams. So don't be browbeat.
There's a good one.
Browbeat by others, you know, that you should do these sorts of things. And anyway, so I think this is a good example of, you know, sticking to that, understanding that culture comes first. It starts at the top. You got to listen, got to follow it down through the system, understand what needs to be done and how to do it. And that was all available back then, but nobody was listening.
Nobody was listening.
Nobody wanted to listen.
So now they're selling them.
Well, now they're selling them. And again, I haven't been there 5, 6 years. Maybe all kinds of other shit.
Right.
I think that's at the core of it.
Yeah.
So that was a good little chat.
Yeah. Thanks. I wanted to talk to you about that.
I'm glad you could get that off your chest. I'm glad I could explain it a little bit. It's just really bugging me. Yeah. No, no. You know what? And you hate that because sometimes you just love going places, going to certain
stores. I do. Well, it's somewhere I can walk to, and you know the staff. But I mean, the staff, nobody there.
Right.
Okay, cool. Anyway, that's good.
We could solve that for you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks for joining us today and listening to another episode of The Atypical Leader. If you haven't already done so, like, share, and follow me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts. By liking and sharing, you will help other atypicals find all of us, so we can all start to leverage the stories, strategies, and strengths of what make us all unique. Keep listening and remember, take charge and push away those self-doubts. Leverage what we're talking about. Be confident in who you are and proud of what makes you unique.
So join me, Rick Brennan, and my co-host Judy Sims on the next episode of The Atypical Leader. And don't forget to get your copy of the book, The Atypical Leader, Harnessing the Power of Neurodiversity on Amazon. To learn more about us, leadership, and neurodiversity, please go to our website, atypicalleader.com.
Thanks for listening. Let's do it again next week.